Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Arcane Kingdom Online, The World Outside, by Jacob Tanner. Narrated by Ryan Burke. Chapter 1. I stepped into the portal. Where it would take me, I had no idea. My boots plunged into the purple ooze. The violet water rose halfway to my knees. "Very good," said Ned, tinkering with Magitek lab equipment sprawled out all across the room. "The next step is to lie down until you're completely submerged." I shivered, standing in the pool of unknown liquid. I was fully clothed, because I didn't want to end up in some other world or realm completely butt naked. It had been a week since the coronation ball where I had defeated Conrad Takashimi and came face to face with the three most powerful AI guardians in the game. That was mere seconds before they vanished into this very same purple pool I was standing in. In the days since, we'd done everything possible to examine the room and the liquid. We wanted to figure out what the heck happened. We tried to loot the pool liquid and add it to our inventories. Every time, we ended up getting a message in our head-up display, HUD, saying the substance could not be added. The message itself didn't even have any clues, as it referred to the substance simply as unknown material. In the end, after all the studying and experiments, we had come up with zilch. There was only one last thing left to try: a live human test. I did as Ned told me, getting down on my knees in the pool until the liquid was just above my waist. The liquid was cool and felt slimier on my skin than I was expecting. I took a deep breath and then leaned my head back. My hair hit the liquid first, then my ears, then my cheeks, until eventually my entire head and body were beneath the surface of the purple substance. I still saw the ceiling of the room beneath the liquid, but it was further away somehow, as if I was sinking deeper and deeper within the pool. But how was that possible? I had just been standing in the liquid with my feet firmly touching the bottom of the pool. There was nowhere feasibly to sink to. The fact that I was sinking didn't make any sense. It defied all logic. Ned and his lab partner, Fred, peered over the pool, looking down at me. I was just barely able to comprehend what they were saying.
"Well, look at that," said Ned. "He disappeared just like he said those guardians had."
What the heck were they on about? Disappeared? I was right beneath the liquid surface. I reached out my hand. My thought process was maybe I had gone fully invisible when submerged beneath the purple substance. My arm and hand would signal to Ned and Ted that I was still there. That's not what happened. My arm stretched out in front of me, and what I was seeing became much more obvious. My arm reached out, but didn't make it to the surface. It didn't get anywhere close. Is this what happened to the AI guardians when they did this? Was this some kind of trap? What the heck was happening? With both arms, I did a swim stroke upward. I created a propulsive force and wave within the substance, pushing myself towards the surface.
Time to get out of here.
Unfortunately, there were a few problems. My feet were unable to plant themselves on any bottom surface to push off from. Worse, my arms didn't muster any force with their stroke. It was like I was no longer underwater. It was more like floating in space with zero gravity. Or, at least, how I imagined floating in the dark, endless chamber of the galaxy would feel like. I was beginning to panic. I'd been holding my breath for over 30 seconds at this point. How much longer could I last down here? Another minute or two, maybe? After which I'd suffocate and die. I would respawn 3 hours later back in the room, just a little bit more the wiser about how this magic pool worked. I could test breathing, but if my space analogy held true, breathing in such an environment was more dangerous than trying to breathe underwater. So I kept holding my breath for the time being. Not that I had much time. The surface became fainter and fainter. Ned and Fred's heads were nothing but specks to me now. The circular surface had grown into a small dot, like how the sky would be seen from the bottom of a deep well.
With no ability to push myself back towards the surface, I continued to sink deeper and deeper. I scrambled, flailing my arms and feet within the unknown space. I wanted to scream for help, but that would throw my holding my breath plan out the window. Was this it, then? Another death to add to the list I'd experienced and gone through during my time in Arcane Kingdom Online? From the very beginning of our studies, we had no way of knowing where the AI guardians had gone. We had no idea what exactly had happened to them. Had this all just been an elaborate suicide plan? My vision began to blur. The top of the pool was no longer in sight. I was now sinking in utter blackness. A few more seconds now, and I could add drowning to the list of ways I'd died in this game. I guess I could technically add suicide too, since I'd voluntarily entered this cursed pool of purple liquid. Such a fact seemed crazy to me now in these darkened depths. I couldn't hold my breath any longer. I breathed in, and the dark substance flooded my mouth. It gushed down my throat and into the rest of my body. All the chambers of my being would be filled with this unknown substance, and then I would die. I closed my eyes and accepted my fate. I kept my eyes shut for a while, waiting to wake up to the sounds of the death's punishment debuff. But nothing happened. I opened my eyes and saw words in front of me, floating like a screen similar to my HUD. Alternative logout procedure loading. Nanite body creation commencing. Nanite skill appropriation commencing. What the? I wasn't so foolish to not understand what the screen was suggesting, but it was still hard to believe. Alternative logout procedure? This was exactly what we had theorized the pool to be. A portal back to Earth. Was it really happening, though? Suddenly, the ceiling appeared again. First as a small dot, but then it got closer and closer. I was no longer sinking, but floating upward, like an empty bottle with a treasure map. My heart raced as the ceiling approached. I wanted to get out of this pool so badly. The ceiling was in view, just behind the murky surface of the water I was lying in. I pushed myself out, taking a huge gasp of air. I scrambled to my feet and wasted no time jumping out of the pool. I shook my hands and feet to dry myself off, but no liquid fell off me. Huh? I was completely dry. I turned to the pool in confusion, but I had no opportunity to ponder how it was possible to be completely dry after emerging from a pool of strange liquid because of a much larger and more disconcerting fact. Ned and Fred weren't in the room. In fact, no one but myself was. The issue wasn't that no one was there, though. The issue was this. I was standing in a completely different room from the one I'd been in a few moments ago. The room was filled with computers, plugs, and equipment. Painted onto the wall was a logo for a company I recognized. Tricorp. The creators of AKO. Then a message appeared in my pared-down HUD. Welcome back to Earth, Clay Hopewell. Chapter 2. Welcome back to Earth, Clay Hopewell. I swerved my head back and forth, taking in my surroundings. My neck ached as my eyes rapidly took in the computers and the rest of the laboratory. Was I really back? I lifted my hands to my face. I had palms with detailed lines and wrinkles. It could easily be my handprint. Of course, I'd never stared with such awe at my hands before, so they could have easily been someone else's handprint for all I knew. But something told me they were mine. I had more confidence in this fact as soon as my eyes landed on one of the blank nearby computer screens, and I was able to catch my reflection. I saw my shaggy brown hair and average-looking face. I was clothed in a black hoodie with blue jeans. This definitely wasn't what I was wearing when I entered the portal. I took a step closer to the screen and took in the sight of myself. My eyes were no longer the purple of the Eldra Airy race I'd played. They were back to their normal original green color. Original green color. The eyes of the Eldra Airy race I played. Was that the right word? The race I played as? I'd stopped thinking in terms of playing pretty much after my first few days in the game. I had been living there. It had been my life. I turned back to the pool of liquid I'd emerged from. My eyes narrowed. Hold on a second, I said to no one but myself. How was this possible? Last I'd heard, my body was frozen in an underground stasis chamber, pretty much on the brink of death, or more precisely, brink of mutation from the Zero virus. There was no way I could be both here and there. A message appeared in my HUD. Welcome to your new Nanite avatar. Please review your character sheet below. Please note, due to the unfinished nature of the Nanite avatar reinterpretation scheme, only 80% of all human functions are retained. Unfortunately, the eating and drinking functions are disabled. We hope this doesn't affect your sense of immersion. One last thing. Death in one's Nanite avatar will result in a permanent loss of life. Loading Nanite character sheet. Clay Hopewell. Primary class, level 60 spellcaster. Secondary class, level 40 hunter. Third class, level 1 developer. Full capabilities, 2% unlocked. Nanite capacity, 500. Primary class abilities, invisibility. No other class abilities unlocked. I nodded my head as I read over the information. It was starting to make sense now, at least the little I could piece together. This wasn't my original body, but a recreation of it via advanced nanoparticles. From what the character sheet suggested, it was more than that, gifting me versions of the powers I'd gained in the game. Right now, I had only unlocked 2% of my full capabilities, which was the power of invisibility. Presumably, the Nanite system had come up with that power based on my multiple magical stealth abilities. Neat. I stood over the pool. So this liquid was somehow connected to the game world, and was able to scan one's body and mind and recreate a Nanite-based body into the real world. Wow. So it really was a physical portal connecting the real world and the game world together, or more like an ultra-powerful 3D printer passageway that connected the two worlds. I couldn't wait to tell Ned and Fred about this. They were going to go nuts over this development. In fact, everyone was going to lose their heads over this. Then a dark thought came to mind. That is, if I can return. I'd have to test out going back in a second, but I may as well gather as much information as I can while I'm here. I took in the lab once more. Now that I was no longer looking at it with confused awe and wonderment, I saw there was a lot of issues here. Desks were thrown over, their drawers emptied and tossed out. Sheets of paper were all over the ground and a broken computer monitor even laid on the floor. The place had been ransacked. Was this the remnants of the Guardian's first moments on Earth? Or could it have been the lab workers' own panic on the brink of the Zero virus apocalypse? I stepped over the broken monitor and walked towards the edge of the room. There was an opening. A sliding metal door, the kind seen in sci-fi movie spaceships that had jammed halfway shut. The hallway was empty but for a lone fire extinguisher, lopsided on the floor. I knew I was in a Tricorp lab, but I still wasn't sure whether I was under or above ground. I was definitely getting underground bunker vibes, though. I also knew, based on my experience with the company, that they liked to keep their bizarre, messed-up tech in the deep sub-basements of their buildings. Russell, Russell. I froze. What the heck was that? Was it the Guardians? Or a lab worker who'd been living here underground? A survivor who may be able to tell me what the heck is going on and where the Guardians had run off to? I walked cautiously to the end of the hall. My footsteps echoed on the floor. The lights of the hallway flickered on and off. The rustling sound got louder as I got closer. I gulped. I'd just gone through a reverse cognitive upload. Was I really ready to interact with another human being on Earth again? I peeked my head around the corner. A bald man in a lab coat was crouching down in a corner. Hello?
He didn't seem to notice or care about my presence. He stayed hunched over, focused on something. After I stood there for a few more seconds, the lab worker finally turned around while staying crouched and hunched over.
Oh, shit.
The man was holding a dead rat in his hands. The rat's stomach was half missing, reshaped with teeth marks. The man's mouth and face was smeared with the blood of his meal. This guy wasn't a human survivor. This guy wasn't an AI guardian. Nope. He was a flesh eater, and he was glaring at me with the eyes of a predator spotting a new lunch. Chapter 3. I turned around and rushed back down the hall. My heart pounded in my chest as I darted through the hallway. Beads of sweat formed on my forehead.
Crap, crap, crap.
I'd seen loads of objectively more terrifying stuff during my adventures in AKO, but there was something about seeing a human-turned-flesh-eater that made my stomach flip more times than an Olympic-level gymnast. Those things. They had killed my parents. They'd destroyed human civilization as I had once known it. Qualify it or give it as many technicalities as you want. But they'd basically killed me once already. I made it through the broken sliding door. The flesh-eater screeched and hissed. Its feet clanged on the floor as it galloped behind me.
This was bad.
After uploading myself to AKO, I thought I'd never be this close to becoming Zombie Chow Main ever again. I guess I was wrong. Had nothing changed since that fight with the crazy zombie in that airport hangar so long ago? Was I still so weak and scared? The flesh eater leapt through the half-broken door more like an attacking hyena than anything resembling a human. It snarled as it swerved its head, searching the room for where I had gone. I was directly behind it. I also realized the significant danger of what was happening went far beyond my own nanite avatar's life. Could that thing jump through the pool and enter AKO just as I'd entered this world? That was a terrifying thought, one with very dangerous consequences. I couldn't stay here like this. Old Clay may have quivered in fear the last time he was in this situation. But I wasn't old Clay. I was new Clay. Wielder of the prophetic seal, rider of the legendary griffin, a freaking manipulator of dreams. It was time to step up in the real world, just like I had in the game world. I closed my eyes and thought to myself, trigger invisibility. My whole body went transparent, blending in with the surroundings. Awesome. Looks like I'd returned to my old world with some of the tricks I'd learned in AKO. I was ready to kick some ass. There were only a few slight problems. I currently only had one trick from the game world unlocked, and it wasn't an attack spell. The other problem was the hungry flesh eater now turning around to face me. It looked right in my direction, drool dripping from its mouth as it salivated over the idea of feasting on my flesh. It took a step in my direction. I stood still. The creature moved back towards the door. It took one last moment to peer in my direction. In the end, it gave up on the mystery that was me and took a step back into the hall. I stayed motionless, my heart beating like crazy. I had another 30 seconds left before the invisibility wore off. Just enough time to jump into the pool of purple sludge and get the heck out of this cursed lab. But something kept me from doing that. I knew I couldn't leave here until I dealt with the flesh eater. Otherwise, I was keeping the possibility of it jumping into the portal itself open, and that was one massive issue I didn't want hanging over my head. I took a quiet step towards the door. Through the partition, I saw the flesh eater had made its own way down the hall, most likely heading back towards the rat he'd left before changing his lunch order. Exactly as I hoped. I stepped into the hall and picked up the fire extinguisher, and then continued forward. Humanity hadn't survived long enough to figure out what exactly was the weakness of these damn flesh eaters. But I had seen enough trashy zombie movies to have a general idea of the best approach. Hence, as I snuck up behind it, still fully invisible, I had the heavy metallic fire extinguisher raised right above the creature's head. With all the strength of my nanite body, I shoved the fire extinguisher right down into the flesh-eater's skull. Thud!
I didn't let the sickening sounds of cracking bones slow me down. I slammed the extinguisher up and down on the zombie brain like a hammer on a nail. If the creature was human, or heck, if it were a goblin or orc or any of the playable races of AKO for that matter, one or two blows should have been enough, but I really had to make sure with this bastard. The creature would have most likely gasped in relief when I stopped, if it weren't for the fact that I'd smashed its head into a few million little pieces. I wiped the sweat from my eyes and a message appeared in my HUD. You have unlocked 2% more of your nanite avatar's capabilities. I didn't have the energy to care about what that meant. I knew I just had to get the heck out of here. I hurried back to the lab. Once there, I stepped to the side of the sliding door and started to push it forward. After a couple of attempts, I was able to slide the doors shut together. With the lab temporarily protected from roaming flesh eaters, I figured it was time to leave, to log out, or to log in. I didn't even know what was what anymore. I stepped into the pool of purple liquid and hoped it wasn't a one-way portal. Chapter 4. I gasped for air. Two pairs of hands pulled at my arms and dragged me out of the pool of magic liquid.
Holy shit, man! Shouted Fred. Tell us what happened. You were gone half an hour. Ned and I thought you might never come back. Sayonara, Clay. Adios, Mr. Hopewell. Shalom, hero of Lair Guard. Shalom means hello, you moron. It means hello and goodbye. Who's the idiot now, numbnuts?
Ned shook his head and smiled at me.
Seriously, Clay, good to have you back. We've spent the last 20 minutes trying to figure out how we'd break the news to the rest of the team, preferably in a way that wouldn't end up with Shade or Serena killing the messenger.
Ned drowsily took a step over to a nearby stool and collapsed onto it. I took a deep sigh. That was very intense. It was weird to be back here now, just like it had been super weird to be back on Earth, or wherever that was. I couldn't prove I was on Earth until I left whatever building that lab was in and saw the world for myself. Even then, you could argue the jury was still out on whether that was the true Earth or not, but I had a strong feeling it was. The three AI guardians, Jupiter, Citra, Theoden, they were obsessed with Earth, the world upon which AKO was inspired. All of their schemes and plans had been based on trying to get back there. They weren't trying to make a fictional Earth, but for the sake of argument, let's say they were. They probably would have rewound history a few months before the outbreak of Zero. I blinked and looked at my hands once more. Was this my body?
Clay, buddy, you gotta tell us what happened, said Ned. It was the whole point of this experiment.
So I told them everything. The sinking in the pool, the nanite body, the torn-apart lab, and the flesh eater. I went through every detail, even though I really didn't want to live through it again.
Wow. That is so insane, said Fred.
Agreed, said Ned. But also high five to us, as we were able to hypothesize the function of this portal from the very beginning.
Huzzah to us, bro!
Agreed, we're the best. But as much as I'd love to linger on such truthful details, we need to keep Clay talking here. We weren't there, so you need to tell us everything, even ideas you had while there. It will help us figure out what we should do next. For instance, why was the lab torn apart? I paused and thought over the question. At first I thought it was the AI guardians. Maybe it wasn't even purposeful destruction. They were just getting used to whatever nanite form they appeared in on the other side. Ned and Fred nodded, frantically writing notes into journals as I spoke. But I don't know if any of that makes sense when there was a flesh eater so close by as well. The monster was the most likely cause of all the destruction in the lab.
Did you see anything on the computers? Were there any diagrams or anything?
I had to think and visualize that room again in my mind.
None of the computers were on, and one was even smashed up. There were a couple of diagrams, though. One kind of looked like a pincer arm or something being designed. I have no idea what for, though. I shared all the details I could remember.
"This is all great stuff, Clay," said Ned. "The only thing we need to figure out now is, when are you going to go back through?"
My heart sank at the question. Part of me was eager to go back, but another part was scared. The ability to go back and forth between the worlds felt too powerful. It was too much responsibility. I didn't want the problems of either world bleeding through and harming people. Maybe it was already too late for that.
Bang!
The loud noise knocked me out of my thoughts. The door swung open. Someone had kicked it in, and they were now standing in the opening. Serena Wharton. My girlfriend and the strongest blade soldier in all of Illyria.
Hey, I said.
I wasn't really sure how you were supposed to respond to something kicking open a door, especially when it wasn't an enemy, but in fact the woman you shared a bed with every night. Maybe I had more reasons to be afraid. Serena strutted into the room, her giant blade sheathed behind her back. Ned and Fred cowered to the sides as they greeted the beautiful sword fighter.
"There's been an emergency," she said.
I immediately stood up.
"Where? What's happened?"
"An alert came up from a nearby town. It looks to be more fallout since the incident."
The night we stopped Conrad Takashimi from being crowned emperor, we now referred to as the incident. While a lot of good had come out from the achievements of that night, there was still a lot of fallout, confusion, and a host of new problems that were very unsettling.
"My contact says they might have information on the recent disturbances," said Serena. "We need to go check it out."
Chapter 5.
Serena filled me in on more of the details, and then together we fast traveled to our destination. Bright light surrounded us until we burst into a colorful splash of pixels, completely disappearing from the portal chamber. Ned reached out to us, shouting,
"Wait! When are we going to experiment again? We haven't set a—"
That was all I got. I was no longer in the room with them, neither Serena nor me. It was one of the coolest things about living in an online video game. Instant teleportation. Or it was cool when it was a helpful convenience. Less cool when you reappeared in an eerily empty monster zone as we just had. I rematerialized with my arms raised and ready to deal with an accidentally aggroed demon goat, but my hands quickly fell to my waist. There was not a single trash mob in sight. Serena emerged out of thin air beside me. She peered around with as much confusion as me.
"Weird, huh?"
I said. "Where is everyone? Players? Monsters?" A few feet away was a puddle of purple sludge. Mushroom monster blood, maybe? There were similar puddles dotted all across the field. "This isn't the first report we've gotten about a lack of trash mobs in the area," said Serena. "And if there are no trash mobs to fight and train against, the players will go elsewhere."
"It's a bit disconcerting, don't you think?"
Serena lifted up her head, staring at the orange dusky sky. "It's not any more strange than a suddenly frozen, non-existent lunar cycle." A pit formed in my stomach. Ever since we had defeated Conrad and the AI Guardians had escaped to Earth, funny things had been happening. Unexplainable and strange things. None of us had seen nighttime, the stars, the moons, the darkness, in days. We were trapped beneath a never-ending twilight sky.
"Let's not just stand here contemplating a second apocalypse," said Serena. "Let's go do something about it."
Serena led the way down the path and I followed, thinking about the slimy flesh-eater I had killed on Earth only 20 minutes ago.
The second apocalypse, huh?
Were we really going to live through another one? Could we be so lucky to survive the end of the world twice? Half an hour later, we arrived at the town of Morton. We walked along the main street, passing item shops, blacksmiths, and weapon merchants. The shopkeepers all flipped their signs to closed as we passed them. I tried to meet their gaze through the windows, but each and every one of them turned, keeping their eyes to the floor as if I was cursed somehow. Is the working day over already? It was hard to tell these last few days with it always just on the brink of sunset. I remember reading about places on Earth like Antarctica, where for a certain part of the year it was always daytime or always night. I guess this is what it would have been like to live in such...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?